Tune out on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We have comedian Brandon C. Price with an interview with J.B. Pritzker. And it's Wednesday, so we have White Sox Talk with John Bulger. And get your calls in for Dr. Lars Dingman, the iTunes psychic, happening at 1 a.m. But now, the favorite show in Crystal Lake, Illinois. It's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
It is so good to be back. You know, there's something to be said for going outside of your comfort zone. I was filling in for John Williams, his afternoon show from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here in Chicago. And I've wanted to try daytime radio for a while because they let me fill in years ago when I first started here. I was a fill-in for Gary Meyer, and I filled in for Bob and Marianne. And I said, you know, if you guys could ever, you know, be nice to maybe expand my sort of presence at the station so people during the day know who I am. They kind of hear our promos. I just thought it'd be a nice cross-promotional thing while John's out of town. I missed you, Michael. I mean, Elif was fantastic, and I missed our listeners. It was very strange as you weren't there, and Rob wasn't there, and Michael wasn't there. I looked around. I'm like, I don't know how to talk to anybody here. Your role was played by Violetta Padromedic, Esmeralda, during the day. No, it's a little bit different. Oh, you? Yeah, I don't know how to put that. She doesn't know who Mel Brooks is. She was in Las Vegas.
No comment.
She took a picture with him and said, oh yeah, I took a picture with a famous guy. Brandon C. Price joins me in studio. Yes.
So she was just like, that person looks famous. I'll pose for a picture and figure out later who it is.
I think so.
Shoot first, ask questions.
But she said, you know what my favorite thing was? What do you think I asked her, Esmeralda, about meeting Mel Brooks?
Was he nice?
Yes. Although I said it a little differently. I said, please tell me he wasn't skeevy.
No, was he?
He wasn't. She said he was really nice, complete gentleman. You can see in the photo, he doesn't even put his arm around her. Just kind of poses next to her, very friendly.
That's a good call, 2018.
Yeah, for everybody. It is weird now, isn't it, when you take a photo?
There's a lot more thought about it, you know
right.
what I mean? And I think some of that is probably good and wasn't happening and now is, and so that's good. And I think some of it's probably erring on the side of safety and then maybe therefore less... I don't know, something.
I was just delighted that Mel Brooks is indeed a decent human. Not just decent, she said he was really friendly and super nice, so that was
favorite
cool.
Mel Brooks movie immediately?
Immediately?
No thought.
I have to think. You know what the thing is I like his album, The 2000-Year-Old Man, so.
Okay.
There you go.
Men Without Tights.
Okay.
Men Without Tights. Robin Hood, Men with Tights.
Men Without Tights.
Is it without
men in tights?
Men in tights. Mennonites.
Mennonites.
That was a good one. That was like right at the peak of my childhood.
Well, you see, the thing is that the other movies that he's done come to mind first, but aren't my favorites. Like Blazing Saddles and The Producers are good movies, but I wouldn't say. What's your favorite?
I think, and this is fairly unpopular, but I think History of the World.
History of the World is very, I think that's very funny.
I mean, it's just absolutely, there's just some of the moments, I think that's the most quotable for me, and that's the one that has the funniest moments. The end of Blazing Saddles is still the only time I've ever let a movie get away with that. Any other movie that it's like, oh, it was all a dream, or oh, it was the wall, and look at the, it's man, or whatever, like any cheesy out, I usually am like, how dare you? You told me a story for 2 hours, and then you just stopped. But Mel Brooks earned it, I think, at the end of Blazing Saddles.
He gets to.
So I think that's those movies have great parts, and so they come up. But yeah, no, History of the World.
I think that's a good choice as well. I'm trying to think if I would go with anything else, but I don't think I would. I think I would go with, I still like 2000-Year-Old Man.
It's good to know he's good. We know
he's great.
We can put him on some sort of list.
What's the one, is a History of the World where he drops the Ten Commandments?
Yeah. I brought down these 15.
Yes.
The Ten Commandments.
I would go with History of the World as well.
It's good to be king.
I think that works. But we had, I want to talk about one of the guests that I had on the show for John Williams. I want to talk about the topic. We interviewed this guy. His name is Dr. Smith. He tracked down two women from his grade school and high school. Track down sounds kind of creepy.
I mean, out of context.
That sounds weird.
The story. It'll make sense.
Yeah. it was fascinating to me. Did you see this story about it's really about the two women, but we tried also
contacting them to see if we could interview the two sisters, Kathleen and Lorraine, who grew up in I believe in Moni, Illinois, and they were relentlessly bullied not just by their classmate, who's now obviously they're all in their 70s. This happened 60 years ago, and I want to know if you haven't had a chance to read the article, it is on the Chicago Tribune page. It's by Donna Vicroy, Two Sisters, a Bully, and the Apology: 60 Years in the Making That Set Them Free. And I think you and I kind of have a take on this, Brandon, as far as, you know, opening up old wounds and who really benefits from the apology is kind of part of my question. So let's take a break here and we'll talk about this when we come back. You're listening pretty late. I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it happen again. This is where I belong. I'm a night person. 1 p.m. I'm like, can I just have some coffee? More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. And a special hello to Trucker Rich. Hope that you are safe on the roads. It's coming down in buckets around here, on and off, actually. But be careful out there. When you pulled into the lot, Brandon.
It was crazy. I came from just north of Andersonville, and it was absolutely dry. And my girlfriend was like, be careful out there. I was like, it's totally fine. And then I passed Fullerton, and all of a sudden it was a blanket of terror and water.
There was a patch where you know that you're tires are not on the pavement. It was sort of like a little, like a large amount of water. Not quite. It wasn't a puddle and it wasn't a lake, but it was on the Kennedy. And I knew that my front wheels were no longer touching pavement. And you have to just relax.
Yeah, just glide.
Just keep gliding.
Go with the flow in the most literal of the words.
This is what it is. You can't react.
That's just kind of Chicago. Oh, was it nice out? Hold on, just a second.
Well,
I've got something in here. Ah, yes, a torment of rain.
It is kind of crazy. It is spring, so completely unexpected. How's that? Mm-hmm. But I do feel as though perhaps we have lost a season along the way, because it was 30 degrees last week and has been 80 something the last 2 days in a row.
Do you think it'll come back at all, or is this just now the new? Because like in Texas or in Alabama, down there most of the time there's really not four seasons.
There's not. There's just,
you get kind of like a week that suggests change is coming, and then it's warm.
But I feel like we used to have four seasons. It's one of the reasons I stayed here.
I heard it was nice.
You've never seen any evidence of such?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like everything else. It's always a little bit too good to be true. And then you get there and you're like, oh, okay, it's like 2 weeks. I'm not blown away.
As do you feel that we missed spring? Do you think it'll come back around? Or are we stuck in summer?
No, we're done.
We're done? That was it.
No, we're not going to suffer.
There are people who really do not like 80-degree weather and up.
I just don't get that. It's so comfortable.
Oh, my husband hates it. My house is so much colder on the inside now. He already is running the air conditioner. Day two of air conditioner in my house. Well, we also have really bad allergies, all four of us suffer from allergies. So if it's hot, we can't open the windows as much because the pollen's like up to 10 the last couple days.
Okay.
For those of you who think that you're under the weather, and if you are susceptible to allergies at all, although we have a running joke because I'm like, I don't have allergies. And I'd be like sniffling and have a sinus
totally
pressure. I'm totally fine. It's all good. You might be suffering from allergies this season in particular because the extreme warmth all of a sudden sort of releasing so much pollen
into all
the
environment. Trees have just been like waiting, just please.
Yes,
I'm so ready to pollen.
So don't. Yeah, if you to make sure you take whatever it is you need to get through this season and take care of yourself, because it doesn't feel good.
Spring is gone.
Did you ever get bullied when you were a kid?
You know the answer to
you
that question.
You did not get bullied. Did you bully?
Of
course. Come on.
Yes.
What do you mean, look at you?
When I graduated high school, I weighed 260 pounds, and I was like the biggest kid from sixth grade till I was about 19.
Okay.
And middle school especially, they did something called the Grape-a-thon, and it's when they would, at cafeteria, Scott Parento would lead this charge, and they'd put as many grapes as they could in my mouth to see how many grapes
you could
fit.
Would shove grapes in your face?
Yeah,
in your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Hold you down?
And then you'd squish it, you know, at the end, the Grape-a-thon.
Have you ever run into these guys?
No. I mean, you know, I'm sure I also bullied other people too. I don't think it was scarring or extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just a good story. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I think if you'd ask seventh grade Brandon, like, how was your day?
Right. It would not be good.
You know, maybe it was more formulative than I'm aware of consciously.
For me, it started in kindergarten. I grew up in an all-white neighborhood on the Northwest Side. And I've told this story on stage. I usually say it's when I was in second grade, but it was actually in kindergarten. I'll never forget the kid. His name was Brian, and he was just this is nasty. Like, in my, I just remember, you know, if I was me, you know, my personality now, mm-hmm. in that 5-year-old little girl, when he leaned across the table and called me a spick. Oh, no, he called me a chink. I'm sorry. The joke that I have is that I went home and I asked my mom, "Mommy, am I a chink?" And she was like, "No, no, mija, you're a wetback, a beaner." But no, I got called a chink in kindergarten, and it started this, like, you know, from kindergarten, it got worse from first grade. Second grade, I used to get chased home. I was called a greasy Mexican. By third grade, I had to stay home on, I would cut school. I would tell my mom I didn't feel well on Tuesdays because it was my beat up day. And I thought for a long time, like, that was something I made up in my mind, like I was afraid or something. And years later, I ran into this other kid from my school named Bobby. And he said, no, I had to run home on Wednesdays. Otherwise, I would get beat up. Like, for whatever, they had a schedule, apparently.
Wow.
So I would stay home from school to avoid getting chased home or hit and beat up. But one time they held my face down against the playground pavement. And like, there were kids that were, it was, desegregation had just started in the neighborhood. So the kids who bust in had, like, prepared lunches from the school with, like, that pressed meat, and, like, they would have apples and oranges. And so one time they held me down and force fed me the uneaten lunches from the garbage cans. So there were things like that that happened. And eventually, you know, one of the girls that used to pick on me and bully me, my dad didn't know. And he ran into her at a Walgreens. She was working there, and he goes, "Oh, you should call Pat. You two should catch up." So he gave Gina, let's call her Gina because that's her name, and he gave her my number, and she called me. And because I'm an idiot, you know, when I see a phone ringing, I have to answer it. I answer all my calls,
wow.
and I like thinking, "Oh, what fresh holy hell is this?"
No, life's too hard.
And I answered the phone, and it was Gina, and she was asking me about my life, and she said she wasn't surprised that I turned out to be a comedian, because no matter how mean they were to me, I was always smiling, is what she said. I'm like, "You don't get
Thank
to take
you,
credit
Gina.
For this. Yeah, you don't get to take credit for any of this."
She knew. She knew back then. Yeah, she was like, "I'm going to be so mean to this girl for her future."
Her coping mechanism is going to have to be humor. Mm-hmm. And all my humor was on stage is, like, more self-deprecating or telling stories. That's the other thing, too. I don't make fun of anybody. It pains me to have to make fun of anybody. I will, if somebody's being disruptive in an audience, if I have a heckler, I'm more likely to shame them, as far as, like, draw attention to the fact that they are wasting other people's time and money by disrupting the show. So this is, we could talk about either bullying or roasting. I've been asked to roast before, and the whole story about the press corps dinner, I've done it once, and it was, I did a fine job.
Did you know the person well, or was it like a research situation?
It was a research situation, and it wasn't just a person. They had hired me. The Republican Party in Northern Illinois had hired me.
Cool, so it was easy.
So they had hired me to roast. They made me pretend that I was a newly elected councilwoman of Plainfield. So the bit was that I would go up there and say, "I don't know you very well, and I know you don't know me, and we'll get to know each other, but I've done some research on you guys." And I, like, ripped into a bunch of, like mayors from the southwest suburbs, and one guy who really was under investigation by the FBI, I was like, "And then his building mysteriously burned down," like, all this stuff. And, like, you could see people getting up from their table, like, yelling at each at other people, like, "Who the hell is this?" And finally I was like, I'm gonna have a good night. I'm gonna go now. Let me take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is a rainy night here in Chicago and throughout the Midwest, so we'll keep you updated if anything changes or becomes more severe. some Charlie Brown music. Is it because Lucy bullied Charlie Brown? Is that why you picked that one?
It's a world famous song. Why is everybody picking on me?
Why is everybody picking on me? I didn't have a lot of people that picked on me in grade school. We're talking about this story that was in the Chicago Tribune. It's actually, the title of the headline is "Two Sisters, a Bully, and the Apology 60 Years in the Making That Set Them Free." What's unique, I think, in this story, and you know, when we hear about bullying stories, or if you see them in movies or TV shows, you see a couple of kids, maybe one big kid, mm-hmm. picking on somebody who's smaller or different and that kind of thing. This was the almost... the entire class.
Yeah,
all the kids in this class were picking
incredible.
On these two girls.
It was like a real group effort here. But it's such a it's a group mentality, right? Just we're all just kind of lemmings. Like, oh, the crowd's going this way. Well, let's just go this way.
It was so bad. As they would, like, if any of the kids bumped into these girls in the stairwell, they would make a big scene about, oh my God, I touched them, and they would run to the bathroom to wash their hands. The girls were, I guess, maybe darker skinned or just didn't fit in, didn't seem like everybody else. All the kids thought they were Native Americans, which I guess in the 1950s, maybe people made fun of the
Native Americans. Anything different, really.
And they, you know, they were completely isolated from any friends they had. And imagine when the older sister graduated, the younger sister was completely by herself.
Because this started in middle school. Well, it says grammar school, but is that like
sixth and seventh grade?
Okay.
Yeah, they said they were in sixth and seventh grade. They had moved to Moni in the 1950s, and they don't know how it started, like in sixth or seventh grade, but all the classmates completely isolated them, and you're right, it was a group mentality, because the one of the bullies decided that he had to apologize. It was something he started feeling guilty about as he got older. He's now an orthopedic doctor, and he wanted to apologize. But my question about this, I mean, it's great, and we talked to him yesterday on the John Williams show. I'm glad that he was able to sit down with them. One of the sisters did not want to go. She wanted to have nothing to do with it, and I understand that too, because you know, it's their whole lives. It affected them, in particular the younger sister. I believe she said that she like was never able to trust anybody. She's never had any lasting relationships. She never married. And Lorraine, the other sister, Kathleen got married. She has a family, but Lorraine has been by herself her entire life. And she said a lot of that had to do with when she was in grade school, not being able to make friends, not being able to get close to anybody, not trusting anybody. And I understand that that Bruce Smith was plagued by this. Oh, that's our National Weather Service giving us some updates, which we will let you know if anything comes up. I guess I should read this, right? The National Weather Service has issued a special marine warning. So if anyone's on their boats right now for Burns Harbor, all the way to Michigan City. So if you happen to be on your boat, tuning us in, which, by the way,
if you're an animal possible. In the sea... You know,
I can't
heads
help
up.
Them. I don't think they're picking up these airwaves. But I think, as don't you think it's kind of more for this guy than it is for... I mean, I love talking to him, and I'm glad that he did this. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd want someone who had that much of an impact on my entire life. I can't go back and fix anything. It's almost more for him than it is for them, don't you think?
Oh, I agree completely. Because what... I mean, all of that time, all of that trauma... And all you're going to say is, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, and he learned about their lives. He continues to learn that what he did had a lasting impact on them, too. But
that is, I mean, Esmeralda's point of like, well, you've changed nothing. I think it's interesting that there's a lot of programs that, you know, people go, like the 12-step program, that's a huge part of that is like making amends. And so it's I think it's very clearly therapeutic for the person apologizing, because I think if you maybe the sense of if that person can forgive me, maybe I can forgive myself and then therefore not live with the guilt.
Right.
But again, that's just coming from me not wanting to live with this guilt. Like,
right.
Not, oh, I went back in time and didn't do that to you.
And I guess having been someone who was on the receiving end of bullying, I guess there would be something to know about knowing that somebody regretted it, I guess, or felt like that there was some remorse. I remember there was one kid, and now he's an adult, but he came up to me at a show. I played Little League Baseball at Norwood. And by that time, like when they picked on me, I sometimes I would leave and cry at home, but I would try not to show it at practice or at the games. But he told me that he has two daughters now, and he always thinks of me and how tough I was and how hard I had it and how mean they were to me, and I still gutted it out. And he wanted to tell me how much he admired me for that, which was kind of different than Apollo. He wasn't necessarily one of the bullies, you know,
right.
Just like this guy who maybe wasn't the ringleader but never stood up for these sisters.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You almost really can't expect any human being to step forward in front of an entire group that's got that mob mentality and go, wait a minute,
yeah.
I too would like to be completely ostracized just because I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly.
I'd like, you know, nobody does that.
Well, Griffin has some guilt. He when he was younger, I think maybe third or fourth grade, some of the kids were wrestling and goofing around, and two of the boys, I won't use their names because they are kids, but they were holding down one of the girls to try to kiss her. her, right? They wanted, and they were only like, you know, what, 8, 9 years old. And Griffin didn't realize until it was too late what they were doing. And he like came home and was really upset, told us what happened, so that he wished he had done something. He felt like he had let her down. And it was kind of ugly, you know, that they, I guess kids think that they're goofing around, but I don't think that little girl's ever going to remember, ever going to forget that everyone was standing around while these two boys held her down and were trying to kiss her. It just feels, you know, you feel so powerless and like the center of everyone, you know, you feel humiliated, you feel attacked, you know?
Do you, as a person who's been bullied, do you think, like, take away the negatives you can think of and that we're talking about that would come from this person reaching back out to you 20, whatever, like later and talking to you about that, find, like, is there anything for you that would be good, that would feel good or be therapeutic by having this person come up to you and say this?
Well, like I said, with the baseball player who said that he was always one of my teammates, you know, thinks of me and, you know, admires what I got through. I guess that would be one thing to kind of, I guess, you know, confirm what I see myself as somebody who made it, you know, made it as far as surviving, because there are people who don't survive that kind of bullying. There are people who,
certainly,
there are kids who take their own lives. And there were times I had developed an ulcer. I would throw up just acid, stomach acid, from the anxiety and stress of being picked on and beaten up. So, I mean, like it affected me, you know, I couldn't sleep. It was very hard for me to focus in school, like knowing that at the end of the day, I might not make it home before I got beat up. There was one time when one of the girls on my route home, there was a teenager, she grabbed one of the boys who was chasing me. I'll never forget this, but here's why it was sad. She held him against a fence and she was like, just hit him. And I didn't know how to hit yet. There's nothing, I mean, like it was great.
Yeah, it's an art.
Yeah, I was like, just like flailing at him. But I think I wouldn't mind at this point, because I mean, I don't think that I have the same kind of scars that it seems like at least Lorraine has in this story that we're talking about. I wouldn't have any problem forgiving somebody. I would be able to forgive them, I think. I'm trying to get to the point where I let go of grudges. You know, I don't think that those kids, whatever, I have to believe that some kids who are those kinds of bullies are having something going wrong at home. Like something is, you know, they're not being raised.
I mean, certainly, right? We don't just make up crazy behavior like that. I mean, outside of severe mental illness or something.
Right.
We saw it somewhere to do it.
Right. I mean, if it's something that would give them peace. Also, because here's the thing. I do hold a grudge. I have family members that I haven't talked to in 18 years since my dad died.
I think the key is indifference, right? You know what I mean? Because the grudge implies hate or anger.
That's true.
Or, you know, and like, believe me, I got a list. But like, what I think indifference is like the ultimate goal.
Well, that's what's hard, is I have so many nieces and nephews. That's the part that I miss, is having seen them grow up. But I have half sisters who I'm completely estranged from, and actually all of my siblings now. And mostly because of their relationship with my parents, less so than theirs with me. Mm-hmm. But things just some really ugly, nasty things that I just don't think that, you know, you can really move forward from, I guess.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between holding a grudge and just like not having this communication, right? Like if those the memory of these actions from these people continues to like weigh on you every day, well, then you're suffering from like holding this grudge. If you're just like, no, I'm super over it because I'm doing me and goodbye forever, you know, then just because they're gone forever and you're not having to make amends doesn't mean it's unhealthy, right?
Right. And I also, you know, but to that, for me, as far as like whether it's my siblings that I don't talk to, or my, and again, half siblings. I didn't grow up with any of them. I grew up alone, as an only child, I guess.
Alone.
Which made me a good target for the bullies. But I don't, you know, with this story, more than anything else, I think really kind of conveys is that it's never too late, right? I mean, if there's something you feel that you need to do, it's never too late to ask for forgiveness. I don't know, again, if it brought any peace to the two sisters that were bullied in grade school 60 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have been asked, right? It wasn't like he showed up like Dick Clark with a check at your door, surprise. Like,
right.
You know, I guess because you have to assume consent was given from them, then maybe they chose to, or at least Kathleen did, it seems, and therefore did get something out of it.
Yeah.
I certainly would encourage somebody to not make it to the 60-year mark.
I agree.
If you're looking for something that come out of an apology other than you just feeling better afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's take a break here. Jenny's on hold. We'll get to her call when we come back on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for joining us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, and we are talking about a story about two girls, Kathleen and Lorraine, who were bullied in the 1950s in Monee, Illinois. And one of their classmates who participated in this, because it was the whole class, it was a lot of the classmates, nobody stood up for them, nobody intervened. And after 60 years, he has asked them for forgiveness, which they have accepted. But it was hard, especially for Lorraine. She didn't even want to meet with him, but they sat down, they talked. And Jenny wanted to join the conversation about bullies, about standing up for kids. Hey, Jenny, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm so glad you have talked about this topic, because you hear about so much of this that still goes on today. But I remember, and I'm not trying to brag or say that I'm a wonderful person in any way, but I remember being very young in grade school and seeing people being bullied or picked on, and I just had to go help them. I would look to see if anybody else was helping them, and I just felt it was wrong. And I remember one time being on a school bus, and there were some older kids, and I even knew the brother of the girl who was doing the really bad bullying, and she was picking on someone and screaming at them and hitting them, and I just went up and said, "You have to stop it," you know, and I kept trying to get her to stop it, and so she did, and then I sat down on the bus, and she came back, and she was like pinging my ears and then slapping both sides of my head, you know, like trying to pop your eardrum kind of thing. And I was terrified. I remember being terrified, but I couldn't not do anything. And I kind of felt that way all my life. I think my parents, they never raised us to be prejudiced or anything. Like, my heart breaks when I think about you and the horrible things that happened to you when you were little, and that nobody stood up for you. I mean, I understand that people are terrified and they're afraid, especially kids in school. They're worried about what their friends are going to think. But I was one of the people that didn't know how to not do anything. I always had to, and I didn't care what was going to happen to me. I mean, but I was terrified. My heart would be pounding out of my chest. Right now it's pounding out of my chest.
You're doing great.
I remember in high school, I had good friends, and we went to I'm hoping nobody I know is listening, went to a Catholic school that was a Catholic school, girls' school and boys' school, and that I was walking with, you know, I was friends with everybody. You know, I didn't care, you know, what group, you're geeks or jocks or, you know, kids in the theater group or whatever.
Right.
And I was walking down the hall. I was waiting for one of the girls, and my friend came by, and she's like, "Oh, come on down." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm waiting for so-and-so." And she's like, "Oh, I can't walk with you." And I'm like, "What? Who are you talking about?" And she's like, "No, I can't be seen." And she felt bad about it, but she's like, "No, I can't walk with you with that person." And it wasn't that this person was mean. She was a very nice girl, but she was bigger or heavy set or something, or she was a theater geek or something, and she was terrified of being seen as that person, and I didn't understand it, and I knew this girl, and I knew she was a good person, and I was just kind of still shocked. But
Jenny, I have to ask you. I love that you did that too, and I'm curious, like, what do you do for a living, or what did you grow up to do?
Yeah, I worked in the medical field.
Yep, that's what I figured. You want to help people.
Animals,
that's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
I'm a prosecutor for the...
And I feel so bad. I'm kind of... that you say that you don't think it could help at all. Didn't these women say that it helped them at all? That someone came back and said, you know, "I'm really sorry for doing this." And I know he wanted to feel better himself, but I think he also felt really bad for what he did. And maybe he thought that he could make them feel better.
I think it helped a little bit. Jenny, we're going to take a quick break here, but we'll talk about that some more after before we do our J.B. Pritzker interview. Yeah, okay. I think it is helpful. But there's a couple texts coming in that I want to get to as well that address that. Thank you so much for telling us that great story. And thank you for standing up for people when nobody else would.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it takes. When you see something, do something. More after this on 720 WGN. It is now officially, what, Thursday? I always get so thrown off by the fact that we straddle dates. We never have actually, I don't think we've talked about this. We often have scheduling problems. We're the only show that has this sort of dilemma when we book somebody and we tell them.
You'll tell them Thursday.
Thursday night at midnight, right? And then for me, I start my show at 11. I go to work on Thursday.
Right.
And so midnight Thursday is still Thursday. But people are like, "Do you mean Friday morning or Thursday night?" So Michael and I will often have to make adjustments in our emails and say that's, you know, Thursday into Friday.
Yeah, that used to happen a bunch.
Well, it happens more to me. It happens more to me than it does to you. When I don't CC you on an email. Yes.
Oh, that does happen. That's where guests come in and they're like, "Hey, I'm on the show tonight." I'm like, "I have never seen you before in my entire life.
I don't know who this person is."
I will say though, I feel like I've seen you go through that, and it is very impressive. You see the face of like, "Okay, I don't know this person," but then you exterior go, Of course. Yeah, right through here. Patty will be with you in just a second. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. I'm a professional, but
absolutely.
Brandon.
Absolutely.
Hey, what's up, boss man? Yeah, come on in.
Come on in.
You.
Although the harder thing to smooth over, we once had, this is a couple of years ago, we had booked a TV reviewer from a publication in Chicago, and she showed up at 11 a.m.,
Oh.
That was, yes. That's not.
Did they let her on?
There's no, no, they didn't know who she was, and she was not pleased, and we've never heard from her again.
Oh, yeah, but that's, you know what?
Yeah, that happens.
Live and learn. We actually had another time, we had the World Series singer, John Vincent from the Cubs, and he showed up at 11, and Bill and Wendy were kind enough to let them on.
Oh, see, that's
their
how
show.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really great segment
and then
for him.
And then he never did our show.
You know what? I think he called one night. I think we got him on the phone.
Oh, you're right. You're correct. Yes, we did. He was fascinating.
More of a great morning man. Person.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people are. That's all right. We want to wrap up this conversation because so many great texts have been coming in about Dr. Bruce Smith, who reached out to two women who he bullied when they were little, when they were all kids, beginning around 6th or 7th grade. Lorraine and what was the other woman's name?
Kathleen.
Kathleen and Lorraine were bullied as children, and he wanted to reach out to them. He wanted, it sounds like they had a great conversation. That idea that it's never too late to ask for forgiveness. I think that this is a good point from one of our texters from the 847. Maybe it would be more helpful if the bully would spend time talking to current students and how their actions affect those they bully. An apology is fine, but better to have a future impact. And I agree with that, because knowing now how much he deeply impacted their entire lives, mm-hmm. I think that, and maybe it's, you're not going to, I don't know that we can ever get rid of bullies, because bullies grow up to do bad things sometimes, and sometimes they grow up to be perfectly normal, sweet people. Maybe they outgrow that. I know a couple of the people that were bullies of mine, and online I can see that they're, like, they've reached out and asked to be Facebook friends of mine. Some of them I did for a little bit, and I saw that they were nasty in social media. Mm-hmm. As they had been when we were kids, so I just completely unfriended them. And then they'll send me like private messages, oh, you think you're too good for me now? And I'm like, no, I just think you're a jerk. But I think that there is something to that. I think you're absolutely right for the 847. I think that reaching out, talking to kids, maybe sharing this story.
Maybe like the guy you were talking about who has the daughters who said he remembers you being strong or whatever. Maybe there's something that came out of that bullying that he's now instilled in his daughters of like, you have to be strong and also, don't bully.
Right.
That's probably, we should all just do that. Find a child and tell them that. Go.
Or to be like Jenny, be the one that steps out of the crowd and says, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let this happen to you. And when Jenny was telling us that story, that happened to me when I was at Lane. There was a young boy who he was intellectually challenged, and a lot of kids picked on him. And I would hear people say something, and you'd hear something in the hallway. But we happened to be out back one time towards a parking lot after lunch, and this kid came up to him and was like, he was smoking and picking on him. And I go, all I said was, leave him alone. That's all I said. And then that kid came over and started blowing smoke in my face. He was like, my clothes are more than your parents spend on rent. And I was like, yeah, probably.
And they smell awful, sir. Yeah.
And then he put his hand on my face and shoved my face. And I was like, don't touch me. And so he shoved me. And next thing you knew, we were getting into a fight. And that was the thing. At that point, I would start fighting. I still wasn't very good at it. We ended up in like headlocks, and I remember there being a whole circle of people around us, like just yelling.
Oh, right.
And like,
that was such a weird universal thing we all do, no matter what region. It's like, circle up,
and we were like, we were in a headlock, and I was trying to like kick him like sideways and like trying to shove him and stuff. And the next day, he was trying to get everyone to like stop spreading the rumor that he had gotten into a fight. He didn't want people to know he was in a fight with a girl, and I was like, well, it's bummer for you.
Yeah, that's tough. Maybe like don't hit girls.
Don't shove my face, man. So that's I don't regret stepping out of the crowd and saying it's not okay. And it's not easy to do. I mean, a voice came out of nowhere. Leave him alone.
I think, and it's so many people, and I would do the exact same thing. Sitting here, you're like, well, I would absolutely do that in that situation. And you just never know. It's like the Stanford prison experiment kind of a thing. You just don't know until you're in that situation.
Exactly.
And then your perspective, and now you're a whole different person.
It's true. It is true. And we have another text from the 630. My girlfriend was bullied her entire life. It even caused her to drop out of high school after an entire cafeteria of kids threw Twinkies at her for being overweight. I'm pretty sure she can't forgive any of them. I wouldn't blame her at all for that.
Yeah, and that's totally her call, whether she wants
awful.
To or not.
Absolutely, it's her call. No one would judge her for not being able to forgive. I hope that she's in a better place now, and I hope that she was able to find some peace with that. This is a good idea, actually, from the 630. Not actually. I'm not saying I'm surprised.
Wow, 630.
Let me see. A listener wants us to do a show on what scares you and causes fear. That sounds like a little, write that down. Michael, what scares you and what causes fear? We won't have time tonight because we have an interview to get to with J.B. Pritzker. I also want to thank the owner, Leif Anderson from Anderson's Candy Shop, for writing a note about his experiences on my Facebook wall and saying some really kind words about the conversation that we've had. So thank you, because nothing beats those treats.
Right. The only
Anderson's.
Thing better than those words were, of course, the candy.
The candy. My dad left when I was 8. He married a rich woman who has her own daughter. The daughter took her money and moved away. I worked for my dad for 20 years. What? This is a very personal story. This is one I'll try to read this it's somebody who had kind of a struggle, I think, financially with somebody in the family over will. Maybe trying to find a way to find forgiveness.
That's tough.
Yeah. I wish I could help
money
you with that.
Inside family.
By the way, 217, you rock too. Thank you so much. It's good to be back. We are going to air my interview with J.B. Pritzker. He took phone calls from listeners during the John Williams show, but he also did promise. I'm taking it as a promise, Michael. He said he would do our show live.
I saw it. He swore and pricked his finger and put it on the paper. Ursula,
I believe,
with
so.
Remember to tell him that it's at 11:30 p.m. So we don't want that to happen with JB.
So that'll be our interview with JB Pritzker. And the interview includes a few minutes at the beginning of the interview with State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. They have an auction coming up pretty soon for unclaimed property, so you can go and find out what they've got there.
Cool.
Yeah. And also, if you have unclaimed checks in the state of Illinois, you should go to the treasurer's office webpage. You can search for your name and see if there's any outstanding checks that are owed to you, because they have it. They never get rid of your paychecks.
Wow,
they hold the money
that,
for
but
you.
I will look.
You might. You never know. More after this on 720 WGN. Also joining us in studio is gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. One of the reasons that we had invited State Treasurer Frerichs in studio was to talk about the auction coming up with unclaimed property. Is this unclaimed property?
Unclaimed property, things that were left in safe deposit boxes.
Okay.
So if there are any collectors out there, people who collect coins or currency, artwork, jewelry, they can go to our live auction at Plumbers Local 130 on West Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on May the 12th starting at 11 o'clock. But if they're interested in what kind of things we're auctioning, they can go to illinoistreasurer.gov, click on iCash, the auction, and they can see a preview. There's about $100,000 worth of things we'll be auctioning off on May the 12th.
Have you ever been to his office in Springfield where they have like the display case, and there's all kinds of, collector's coins, and I think there's like an old baseball or maybe old, all kinds of things like dating back from before the Civil War.
Things that have been abandoned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Very cool.
It's an amazing office, but I think he's probably going to get his own office.
Are you trying to figure that one out? How has it been? The last time JB was here, I said, do you remember what I asked you? I told you I'm going to ask you why you're rich. I thought we'd move on from that.
It's a new set of questions.
Right. Well, my first question is, what has it been like for you now that you've won the primary? You've gone across the state of Illinois. Obviously, you know a lot about Chicago. Your name is prominent here. What were you most surprised by meeting people across the state?
Well, the neglect, honestly, that the state government has had for so many people in central and southern Illinois. I really felt strongly as I traveled the state that people would come up to me and they would share their stories about how, the services that they'd been relying upon for years had gone away over the last few years under Governor Rauner, that with no budget for 2 years and 6 days, that substance abuse clinics had closed, mm-hmm. and shelters that they were aware of and new people who were using were closing, and mental health facilities. People rely on services from mental health facilities. And when they close in central and southern Illinois, people end up having to drive an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away in order to get help, where they used to have maybe a half hour, 40-minute drive.
And many people will simply give up and not even seek those services out because it becomes prohibitive.
That's exactly right. And then, of course, no jobs really are being created in central and southern Illinois. And Bruce Rauner, when he was running for office, promised he was going to bring jobs back. He had no plan for it. He's done nothing. There's nobody helping with small business creation downstate. In fact, he's decimated that, which was run through the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Those small business offices that used to exist, they're gone. And so people have just, they're on the verge of losing hope. And so I really found people have engaged in our campaign because they want change and they want somebody who's paying attention.
I was thinking about this morning that, you know, people are cynical about government, about politics. Not that we haven't always. I think people have always been suspicious of politicians, but a lot leads to it, whether it's social media and the fighting in between, if you're a conservative or a liberal, you can't see eye to eye on things. There's a lot of corruption, obviously. We've had problems not only in the city of Chicago, but in the state of Illinois. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is that we no longer seem to have somebody in the executive office of Illinois, and perhaps I think this is true of the federal level, is that once one party wins that office, and I can't remember anybody who led the state of Illinois as though they were the governor of all people. I feel as though Blagojevich and Quinn often felt like they were Democrat governors, not the governor of Illinois. I feel like Rauner is a Republican governor, not the governor of Illinois. You know, not since Edgar, not since Thompson have I felt like somebody really, regardless of party, were there for Illinoisans. How do you plan to lead people as though they are your fellow Illinoisans?
I think the first thing is I'm a listener and I'm a believer that in order to be a good leader, you've got to listen well. And that means that you got to recognize that good ideas can come from anywhere. They don't just come from Democrats. I'm a Democrat and have been my whole life. But sometimes Republicans have good ideas. And
sometimes Democrats have bad ideas.
And sometimes Democrats have bad ideas. And the point is that if you listen and work with people, you can end up with really good programs for the state of Illinois and that'll help lift up working families. And that's the kind of leader that I think I'll be as governor. I know that's what I have done both in business and in the nonprofit world during the course of my life.
We have a listener named Jim who wants to join us. Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
What was your question for JB?
Hey, JB. I'm a fan of yours, JB, and a Democrat, but I'll vote for the best candidate. Two questions. My Republican friends, how can you support JB when he was friends with Blagojevich? And second is, how are we going to address this pensions? It really bothers most people. A lot of firm companies have 401ks, and that's how it works today in business world. Why aren't we going to that type of model with our state employees?
Well, thanks, Jim. First of all, I've been engaged in changing public policy across the nation and here in Illinois really my whole adult life. And so that's why I've gotten to know state legislators and governors and congressmen and even presidents, because I care deeply about particularly early childhood education and some other issues that I've been engaged in, making sure we're feeding our most vulnerable and hungry young children in school. And so that's why I get to know politicians, and some of them turn out to be really great at what they do, and some of them turn out to be scoundrels. You gotta watch and listen, of course. On your point about pensions, look, we have a challenge in the state of Illinois, and the challenge is that Bruce Rauner's convinced everybody we can't pay the pensions that are owed. Let me remind you that when a teacher takes a job, they're not being overpaid. They're getting promised a salary, they're getting promised a pension to go with it, and that's a deal. That's a promise. That's a contract. And the state has to live up to it. It's a moral obligation. I intend to make sure that we do that. We can do it. Bruce Rauner's tried to convince people we can't. He even wanted to have the state of Illinois' pension system declared bankrupt, which is illegal right now, thank goodness. But he wanted to have the law changed federally. I believe strongly that I've talked about how we could do that to make sure that we're stepping up the payments into the system and leveling them out so that we can manage the budget of the state of Illinois. But don't be fooled by Bruce Rauner. He consistently has lied about this and so many other things. And I really believe that a pension is a promise, and I know we can live up to it.
Steve Bertrand, our newsman, has a question
Mr.
for you.
Mr. Pritzker,
well.
The Center for Tax and Budget Accountability out, I'm sure you saw yesterday, with a couple of ideas for a graduated income tax. I know you've spoken in favor of that. I think there's one was no change up to $300,000, and then there was a tax credit available. Another changed the rate for lower income earners. Where are you on their proposals, and what's yours?
Well, let's back up and point to, you know, what is a progressive income tax? Essentially, it's asking those who are most able to pay to step up and pay more in a higher rate than people in the middle class and those striving to get there. And so what I believe is a fundamental principle for a progressive income tax in the state of Illinois is that we cut taxes on the middle class and those striving to get there.
We're hanging out with J.B. Pritzker, who is a gubernatorial candidate for the governor of Illinois. Well, I guess that's kind of redundant for the state of Illinois. Treasurer Frerichs, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. And one more time, the date for that auction?
May the 12th, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning at Plumbers and Pipefitters Local 130 Hall on Randolph.
And you can go to illinoistreasurer.gov to find out not only about the auction coming up for unclaimed property, but also find out if you have some iCash sitting
out
there.
We'd love to put more money into your listeners' hands.
I love that you love doing that. And I'm excited to get a check. More after this on 720 WGN. J.B. Pritzker is running for governor of Illinois, and a lot of people want to know what he's going to do that's different than the last rich guy that's in the office right now. I guess that's kind of the way they put it. Some people want to know, I've heard people say you're not really a man of the people. Like, can you really relate to what it's like to struggle to live paycheck to paycheck? It's something that people are really concerned about.
You know, I've been engaged my whole life in lifting up working families across Illinois, across the United States. I think you know that for more than 20 years, I've been a leader in early childhood education, particularly for the most at-risk youth. Those are the kids that need the most assistance. They're also the ones we need to make sure are ready for kindergarten. Mm-hmm. I also helped to expand President Obama's No Kid Hungry program here in the state of Illinois to 230,000 kids in low-income school districts. I've been engaged in creating jobs and helping people start small businesses. In fact, more than 7,000 jobs and hundreds of businesses have been created just at the incubator that I founded, 1871, here in Chicago. So, you know, look, I've been working for all of those issues, but I think the thing to pay attention to is what are the values of the people who are running for public office? And I think I've demonstrated over the course of my life that basic fundamental democratic values of fighting for social and economic justice, for equality and inclusion, those are my values. That's what I believe in, and that's what I'll bring to the governor's office.
One of our listeners has a question, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Is it Aileen?
Yes.
Hi, Aileen. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm just fine.
What do you want to ask?
I wanted to ask JB about all of the millions that he spent and Ronner spent on the campaign. I got about a half a dozen of those big 8.5 by 11 glossy advertisements in the mail, and the schools are crying out. I sub at the Bloomington District 87 schools in the office. And the teachers and secretaries are buying all kinds of things because the schools can't afford it. And I just think that those millions that you spent would have been better served at the school.
Well, you bring up two really important issues. One is about campaign finance reform, something I believe strongly in. But remember that the challenge that we have today is that under Citizens United, under the federal rulings recently, particularly by the Supreme Court, we unfortunately have a system where there's just unlimited money that's flowing into the political system. And it's unfair. It's unjust. And actually, it benefits the Republicans much more than it does Democrats. I got into this race after Bruce Rauner wrote himself a $50 million check. And then he took $20 million from one of the members of the Koch brothers right-wing network. That's Ken Griffin, the wealthiest man in the state of Illinois. And with that $70 million as a beginning of this campaign, it's a ridiculous way to operate a campaign system. We need to change that. We need to put in campaign finance limits. But, you know, as Senator Paul Simon said, while he was fighting for campaign finance reform, he said, we can't unilaterally disarm and let the Republicans overtake us with a wash of money while we're fighting for campaign finance reform. We've got to simultaneously beat them and put in campaign finance reform, and that's what I intend to do. So that's at least on that front. On the funding of education, that's been a centerpiece of my campaign. You've heard me talk about the need for a fair tax system in the state, a progressive income tax statement, progressive income tax system, which I believe will help us pay for the kind of education that we want across the state of Illinois. It's fundamental to take the burden off of the local property tax system and make sure that we're paying for it at the state level. So, and then final point I'd make is that I actually personally have contributed tens of millions of dollars to the education system, particularly early childhood education. Believe strongly that that is how we raise up the economic condition of the state of Illinois and lift up working families.
But I think you, and Aileen, thank you so much for calling. But I think you can see what Aileen is saying is that we, you know, it's hard. I think it's hard at the experience level, and this goes back to, you know, what it feels like to be on the other side of this struggle of watching millions being spent when. And teachers can barely afford to buy the supplies and things that they need for their children. You can certainly understand that frustration, right, Aileen?
100%. That's why we need more. That's why we need to fund our education system properly. We have a vastly unfair system where the quality of an education that you get in East St. Louis is not nearly the quality of an education that you get in Winnetka, Illinois. And we need to make sure that every child gets a quality education.
We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Coming up on the 2 p.m. news, the Chicago crime numbers are down, and C. Bertrand will tell us more about that. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Hey, Brandon C. Price, you know, I'm thinking you're aware that baseball season is underway.
It is here.
How are your Braves doing, by the way?
Oh, we took first place in the East tonight by beating the Mets 7-0.
What?
Yes, we have the three youngest players in the league, and they are all incredibly, ridiculously good. We have the highest rated prospect ever.
Ever in the history of baseball.
Ever. I mean, that they're saying.
I think that's going back quite a bit.
They're saying ever.
I feel like you're stretching the truth a little.
The five tools of Ronald Acuna. We'll see. After about a 10-year drought. It's very exciting.
You had a 10-year rebuilding.
Oh, at least yeah. It seems that long. The rebuild, man. I mean, it's incredible. You can pretty much put any baseball team on somewhere on the rebuild spectrum. And it is. It's something that everybody goes through, and sometimes it takes 90 years, and sometimes it takes 10. But I think it's
yeah,
fun.
I think we were familiar with the 90-year one.
It was a tough day to
or 108 years.
Cubs. It was a tough day.
A shellacking of 11 to 2. Is that what you're talking about?
Rockies came into town and knocked them around.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think 2 days in a row. Yesterday was less of a knocking. I was supposed to go to the game last night. I was going to go to the Cubs game, and a friend of mine offered tickets. But Griffin, who has won his category for the Chicago History Fair competition, has had to work on some more details on his project. And being the history major in the house, I was recruited to make sure that all the it's a documentary. It's really well done, and I'm not supposed to share more information because my husband and my son are like, "Could you stop talking about Griffin's project?"
Right, you don't want his competition to find out like anything. Any details.
I don't know how I've done a lot of history projects. I don't know.
You never know. It's 2018. Kids are getting competitive earlier and earlier. It's why there's so much Tommy John surgery.
Well, they so much what surgery?
Tommy John's. It's because kids are throwing harder and harder these days.
Oh, I see.
I tied it
back. You're going
back to baseball.
That's all right. Then fine. I'm just worried that Griffin's. I mean, I'm excited for Griffin that he's going to the state competition for the history fair. I'm just concerned that he's now going to win the national one. I just got back from D.C. with him. I stalked him on his field trip a couple
weeks
ago. Well,
have you tried to encourage him to achieve less?
No, he is. You know what's funny is that he doesn't seem like it. He's very competitive. John Boulder joined us in studio. Let me see if I have your microphone on. Try that one out. Do you want to try that one out?
Hey.
Nope. Let me try this one. How about that one?
Hi.
There
this
it
work?
Is. Ooh. That does work. Is this one on?
Check, money
your
order.
Your hair is particularly on fleek tonight.
You know what's so funny? I was golfing with this guy, and he's like, "Are you a cop?"
Your hair makes you look like a cop?
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm not a cop. He's like, you're sure you're not a cop? I thought I was like in a drug sting. You know, like, you got to tell me if you're a cop.
Oh, wow. He was worried for his own freedom,
safety.
I guess.
Yeah,
wow.
That was odd.
That is very strange.
Well, it's good to look authoritative.
I guess you do kind of have cop hair. I guess you do have cop hair.
What? So I guess cop
it's the
hair
kind
just...
of hair. It's the kind of cop hair where if you had, you know, their caps, right? The dress
cop
uniform caps. The kind of hair that you know that if you took it off, your hair would still look good.
Right. Yeah. So it's
you have very dense. Both of you have, and Michael's as well. You three very well coiffed men, I would say.
I've always thought of myself as coiffed.
We have a thick head of hair.
Thank you.
For sure.
Can I be reverse Michael, coiffed or super no. coiffed?
You can be super coiffed.
Super
you have to wear a cape, though. Michael, do people often comment on your very luxurious locks?
You know, I blame the humidity for tonight's look, but...
it's a little curly.
What do you think people picture us like? I mean, because if any time I listen to the radio, it's like super attractive people. Just in my mind, you know, most people I've never seen or whatever. I remember in... You know, you find out eventually like what some of them look like. I remember I had two sports guys that I listened to Dallas radio on the ticket, and I was like, they must both, you know, just look like Rat Pack, like incredible. No, and I was like, oh no, that voice comes out of that person.
When I was born, my mom said you had a face for radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. As do you ever have weird reactions from listeners when they meet you, or do they ever reach out to you on social media? Because sometimes people can be creepy. I want to know what you look like.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. I think we've all gotten that. I don't think anyone's ever went, well, I didn't think that's what you look like.
Is that what you look like?
Yeah, no one's ever said that to
that's
me,
good.
Thank goodness.
That's a good thing. By the way, I do have to mention, as you're making me crazy with some of your food posts, I really... there is a good ramen place on Belmont near Broadway, and I took a picture of the awning. I'll pull it up during the next break. But I do have a place for you to try. It's a small little Korean place.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
It's a Korean place?
Maybe not Korean.
With ramen?
Because they have bibimbap. Isn't that Korean? Yeah.
Bibimbap.
It should be.
Yes, they have ramen. But they have good ramen. They have really good ramen. Okay. I mean, it might be Asian then. How's that?
There's a lot of fusion going on in 2018.
There's a lot of fusion going on.
If just go to Chinatown, you'll run into everything. It's awesome.
probably a lot of Chinese food.
I'm guessing a little.
I'm thinking a little bit. All right, so the Braves are doing well. The Cubs took a couple of hits. They were in first place yesterday. Less today, I'm guessing.
What a day of difference makes.
How are the Sox doing? Before we start, man, I do want to say I love baseball. Clearly, WGN Radio is now the flagship station for the Chicago White Sox. When I tease about the White Sox, it is like cousins are like teasing each other. This is not meant to be malicious.
It's out of love.
My husband would like to clarify his joke about when Comiskey was called the Cell. I said that my husband wrote the joke. They call it the Cell because all the White Sox fans belong in jail. He would like me to clarify that was not the joke he wrote. It was some of their fans belong in jail, but you could say that of any really baseball fan.
Yeah, Bill League, I think the guy who attacked the first base coach, I think he's in that group and a couple of morons.
I believe that was the genesis for the joke years ago. So, so I've done a clarification. I'm pretty sure I just made things worse rather than better.
Yeah,
but
I like it. I think
it's my skill set. Yes.
And his address is... No.
He's also a Cubs fan, so it's all in jest.
It's rough on the South Side this year, though. There's some jest to be had.
It's for the White Sox right now, I think the key is you look to the future. You look right now, the big talk on the South Side, without a doubt, is pitching. We have good starting outings. We have no bullpen. We have no offense. It's either huge or zero. Mm-hmm. And the biggest question, everyone's like, oh, then you got to bring up Kopech. I'm like, just simmer down. Settle down. No.
Why rush now?
All you're doing is just asking someone to run into a buzzsaw for nothing.
Yeah,
it's meaningless.
Associate coming on up with like terrible feelings and watching veterans be super pissed off.
And he's a legit, like, if you look at the stuff he has, if he works the changeup and he works the program and he works with Cooper and they pretty much with the whole minor league system, he's a legit number two. Not today. So, you know,
it's tough because you want to give your fans something. We watch the Braves roll out prospects too early and waste them for the last 7 years. And I'm the fan sitting here, give me something. You know what I mean? But now you ruined it.
Well, and I think that's something. I think that's why the Sox have really worked hard.
Sword.
Mm-hmm. I'm never satisfied.
The Sox organization is working hard to keep fans interested. If it's going to, you know, during a rebuilding period, that's kind of the reason that you have your family day at the park and you've got take your dog to the park day.
You got Star Wars Day.
If they have Star Wars
they
Day,
do.
May the 4th.
When's Is it tomorrow? When is the Star Wars
May the 4th be with you.
Mm-hmm. That's
and also
that
with you.
Bit, they don't really have
it's
Star
so
Wars.
It's so religious.
it's very religious.
it's a clarion call like Catholic Church where you'd be like, May the 4th be with you and also with you. Yeah,
yes.
Any priests? Any kids? No.
Wasn't there? Didn't someone just hit like 7 home runs and in two games?
Yeah, that would be Mr. Davidson, Matt Davidson. He seems to like Kauffman Stadium. He just can't seem to play in any other park right now.
Is that what happened?
And he's a good guy. He's a quality guy. He's your classic DH. So when we have interleague right now because we played the Cardinals, and you wanted us to beat them, and we obliged you by going 0-2. So
yeah.
have a happy Wednesday, Patty.
Well, now it's Thursday, so that's all. The slate is clean. The slate is clean. I should have gone.
I'm still living in Wednesday right now. It hurts.
It's all right. It's all right. By the way, we have a text from a listener. This is going back to our conversation about bullying. This made me laugh.
Okay.
Hey, Patty, I was bullied in school. When I heard there was going to be a movie called Revenge of the Nerds, I hoped that it would be a slasher flick. That's from Rich in Madison. That's really funny.
You kind of took that sociopathic edge, that Bronson edge. I like it.
Yeah, we've all got that that feeling attached to that one or several memories.
Has there been a revenge slasher flick of somebody who was bullied? And there has. I feel like there was.
Carrie.
Yeah, but that was during, right? That wasn't like going back.
She didn't wait. You know what? I'm mad now. And I respect that.
Well, actually, comedy. She waited till the pig's blood hit. And right. She's like, all right, you know
it
what?
It wasn't like Count of Monte Cristo.
I don't
it was
need
like
to write this. This is just me versus you. You're done.
And you're blood done, for son. You.
That movie holds up, by the way.
And telekinesis, you're done.
I like that movie a lot.
I would say there's one it's more comedy related. So if you think of Billy Madison, where Buscemi played the guy who's like crossing names off the list of bullies. I don't know if you remember this.
I haven't seen the movie. But Tim Daly does it in Diner. But so Buscemi does it in Madison.
Yeah, so he's just and then just out of sheer guilt and human condition, he's like, you know, I called because I was just sorry I bullied you. It was so bad.
Oh, he's going to
apologize. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah. Well, I really didn't think about it. He hangs up the phone and then he crosses his name off the list in lipstick and then puts lipstick on. It's super twisted, but it's accurate to the conversation.
All right. I have not seen that one.
If I had a nickel for every one of those characters he's played.
Yeah,
Buscemi?
Yeah. I think the same guy in Con Air. You know,
I was going to say Con Air with the little girl. He's having the tea party.
Yeah. Top five bad movie for me to watch is Con Air. If you need a bad film, go get yourself Con Air and listen to that Southern accent of Mr. Nicolas Cage.
It's got
to
be the hair. Hair sets the tone for rest
so
of the movie
good.
With the wife beater t-shirt.
How dare John Malkovich drop himself to such a level?
Hey, paychecks, baby.
Yeah, John Cusack is in it too as the FBI
guy.
Yes. That is a classic cast of characters. Everybody, Con Air.
Yeah, how good are the Sox doing? Let's talk movies.
Yeah, right. The Renda Bridgel?
I want to get to another game because I do like the park. The park is great.
I think the key is if we call it Comiskey because
I
you,
do too.
You just you just kind of go can't call
well, it's like
it.
A Sears Tower thing. It's kind of like a Chicagoan
exactly.
thing in itself.
Yes. Without a doubt. Oh. So no one says Willis. No one says that. You point out landmarks because you know the landmarks.
You know, Hancock is going to be changing the name too. They've got
John Hancock.
It's called 875 North Michigan Avenue now.
Well, they just call it the address? That's so trendy. Hashtag tweet.
It's so hipster.
Yeah,
let's just do the address. Wow, genius. Who thought of that?
Put it in lowercase, but their numbers, sir. Lowercase.
have you been to Wrigley yet this year?
Not this year,
no. I haven't been yet. I was going to go yesterday.
It is so different to drive through that neighborhood.
It is very
It's
different.
Blown up because of all the commercial merchandising. There's the hotel that's up. I mean, it's huge.
When I moved here, and I worked in Wrigley for the first couple of years I lived here, and that was when they were still really bad, and there was so many like half-done construction projects that just like had stopped 3 years ago
they
because
ran out
no
of
one
money.
Comes here. And then all of a sudden to see it blow up, it's just incredible. That like a couple of people being good at a sport like changed hundreds of millions of dollars of this neighborhood. Ah, baseball's so cool.
But the neighborhood around Comiskey doesn't necessarily have that because it doesn't have the space for it. Really,
it's called Bridgeport. So pretty much, it's every cop and firefighter in Chicago, not every, obviously.
Some of them are in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because the far south side, the far northwest side.
The Bridgeport is a working community, so they've been around forever. 35th and Shields, 35th and Archer, or 37th and Archer. It's like, you know, like, that's a working neighborhood. So they've been around. These houses have been around. It's a community. That's Cork and Carey, Bill Guide there.
Right.
It's fantastic. You get good food. You get great time. It's a community.
It doesn't really have to be so crammed in down there either. You got a little bit more space to park. Yeah.
Yep. Because to the west, I'm sorry, to the east, you got ITT, I think, Illinois Technical.
Yes, IIT, yeah. Right? IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm dyslexic.
No, you.
Yeah. Well,
no, because there's ITT.
So.
Isn't there like there's like an online course?
Yeah, there's an ITT, and then there's an IIT.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the I like T. Yeah.
That all works.
Yeah, but it's the park is great, and it's accessible by the Red Line. Just get off at, it says 35th and Sox Park, so you get right off. Sonny and I go there all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to go to more games. I've gone to
they got the deals have to year. Be there at this point. 20
Wednesdays, dollar hot dogs, Kobayashi, that stuff.
You get in the upper deck for a couple bucks now.
Have you been? It's not an upper deck; it's a climbing wall. It's a straight.
Like
climb.
An old opera
Bring
house.
Bring extra
like,
tissues because the nosebleeds just start to occur.
It's but great park though. Yeah.
It is. Rough.
It's good.
No, but like the general area is. I love the layout. I mean, because you know
we gotta go. Let's do a field trip.
Yeah.
Because I don't see American League baseball. I'm not sure why you would, but I'll give it a try. I will give it a try.
I guess we're sick of watching the pitcher go over.
Gosh, I don't know. Strategy's boring too when you get down to it. Anyway.
Yeah. No.
And the thing about going to a game, by the way, for folks, I mean, like, there's something social about it too. I mean, yes, you're there for the game, and some people hate that when they go to Wrigley, people are just talking or on their phones or whatever, but there's such a great vibe you go to a baseball
park.
It's
an outdoor beer garden that happens to have a Major League Baseball game. But
exactly.
But that's changed. I hope it's changed. That's why every time every Cubs fan was like freaking out, I'm like, you have really good starting pitching. Simmer down, settle down.
Yeah,
there's just something about being in a ballpark that is it's invigorating. Love the feeling.
The action, the people, the kids will climb against the wall. You get autographs. It's fun. It's
the
a
sound
lot of
noise. I mean, to give like you're saying, to give a kid the feeling of like of that crack of that bat, and then I associate that not only with my parents celebrating and this is the team I grew up with or me feeling good. 50,000 people just roared at the same
time.
Like
very
that
exciting.
Is that's a life changing feeling.
It goes through a kid.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Go to the ball games this summer. Go.
Take yourself out.
Go watch the Sox play. Cheer them on. We'll talk. We have to take a break here. Go to the news. Coming up after the news, we've got Dr. Lars Dingman, the world-renowned iTunes psychic, and I think the most polarizing guest that we have on the show.
Ever. Can you read my mind?
Perhaps no other guest garners as many requests and as many, what's the opposite, John, of a request?
A denial.
I don't know. It's not really. Dr. Dingman.
Wait,
Dr. Dingman joins us on the line. Dr. Dingman, you are one of the most polarizing guests on my show, I have to say.
You know, I take that as a compliment, Patty, because if you're not inspiring or reaching people in a strong way, you're really not making an impact. I don't understand what the negativity would be about. I think it's basically fear, and people don't want to face the truth, and you know they don't need to. So that's fine with me. You know, I'm just happy that the people that want me on the radio are able to listen to me there.
Well, we appreciate when you
share your
skills. Yes, we appreciate your skills. And anyone who would like to have a reading done can reach us right now, 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200 to have a live reading done by the world-renowned iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman. Now, Dr. Dingman, you know, we've talked about this many times on the show, but I want to make sure for those who are perhaps new to hearing your voice and hearing how you do your readings, the reason that you ask your clients and our listeners to choose to give you the last three songs that they randomly heard is that you feel that the universe sort of selects something based on what they need or what's happening in their lives at the time. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yes, Patty. The universe is alive and thinking and sensate, and it wants every human being to be the best human being they can be. So it's constantly trying to help us. The problem is we don't listen. Human beings are hard-headed and opaque and not particularly observant. And they miss, you know, you've heard the sign, they miss signs. You know, it was right there. I didn't realize I wasn't paying attention. That's the problem. And so what I'm able to do is the universe reaches out to people with vibration, and the most concrete expression of that vibration is music, songs. So you'll hear songs randomly throughout the day, and those titles of those pieces of music lead me to kind of define, discern what the universe is trying to tell each person.
I think it's a remarkable skill that you have. John, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to wonder, Dr. Dingman, did you study under any tutelage or any, like, master to learn this incredible, impressive craft to be able to take three songs from any human being and really get to the meat of the bone of what's going on in their lives and what they need?
No, actually, I was trained in hard science. I have a degree in audio engineering. And I was working for a communications company, and there was a fire, and I was in a coma for 6 weeks. And when I came out of the coma, I suddenly had a higher awareness of the world around me.
Wow, like a clairvoyance almost?
It was like, do you wear glasses?
Yeah, I do from time to time.
Okay, well, take off your glasses. I mean, you can basically see, right? You know, you can see Patty, and you can see wherever
blurry.
You are.
Yeah, it's blurry.
Right. And then when you put the glasses on, suddenly everything comes into focus, and that's what it was like for me. I was able to meet people and talk to them and know what was going on with them with respect to the universe and what they were upset about or happy about, and the song titles refer to vibration. Each song has a digital song pattern. What's the thing where you hold it up in the bar and you try and impress a girl that you know the name of the song?
Shazam.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. That works because each piece of music that is published has a unique sonic print, a unique vibration, and that transmits that vibration every time you hear that song. The universe understands this and is able to send you songs that fit the vibration deficit that you have at a particular time. And a vibrational deficit is what causes people to be unhealthy or unhappy or frustrated or angry or all the negative emotions that we experience. And the universe wants everyone to be living in the positive and the happy. And by understanding that the universe is telling you to go left when you think you should go right is the way people can change their lives, change their vibrations, and live to be more of the human being that they should be.
You're like a psychological Simple. Superhero.
Oh, so, I don't know.
If... super about it. It's very normal and natural. Like, I know that there was someone on the show last week that was complaining that voodoo or some sort of supernatural thing. Psychic energy is the most natural thing there is. People just don't. They're not susceptible to it. They can't tune it in because they're too clogged with other. Communication.
It beats psychotic energy. It beats psychotic energy.
Anything beats psychotic.
It's a fine line between psychic and psychotic, believe me.
We do have a gift for our first listener who would be willing to have a reading done. I know that it feels a little bit personal. Sometimes people don't want to have these conversations. And sometimes Dr. Dingman does, you know, draw you out of your comfort zone a little bit. And for some people, that there's resistance to that. So I do have a prize, 312-981-7200, if you would like to have a reading done. And we have a desktop indoor weather station, which is brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And we also have, for another listener, we might have a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. I'm always hesitant to say that because...
dinner and the weather. That's amazing, Patty.
It's so Chicago, isn't it? Here's your weather station. Here's a pizza.
That's where a guy like is listening to the Grateful Dead really hungry, like, I'm going to call in.
Oh, look at that. Now everyone's coming out of their comfort zone like that.
Who needs the weather on their desk, Patty? Don't you need the weather outside? I could tell you what the weather on my desk is. It's room temperature.
I think it tells you the weather outside while you're inside.
From your desk, that's not possible.
Well, now we'll have to have our listener that wins this tell us what the
what the deal is.
Yeah, what the process is by which it's a.
I think it's for indoor people who only do social media. So they refuse to actually walk 5 feet to stick their head out their window.
Exactly.
Ironically, social media is the most deadening of that's why people are missing so many of the hints and the clues that the universe gives out. People are buried in their phones.
Very true.
And social, and they don't interact with people or with the universe as a whole, and it's leading people down strange paths sometimes. But let's find out what these three songs are, and we'll see.
All right, let me take a break here because we're right up against the break, and we'll take our first call. We have Helen and Colleen are on hold right now. The whole phone line list is filled up.
Boom, boom, boom.
You say
boom,
pizza
boom.
Weather station. It's not pizza weather station.
I love a pizza weather station. That would be fantastic.
I think that works out very well.
30% chance of cheese.
We'll take these calls and have a reading done by the world-renowned iTunes psychic Dr. Lars Dingman in a moment on 720 WGN. World-renowned iTunes psychic Dr. Lars Dingman joins us by phone. By the way, Doc, I didn't ask, where are you in the world tonight?
Tonight, Patty, I'm in New Orleans, Louisiana. There's a, I can't divulge the name of the client, but oftentimes professional sporting teams bring me in to do psychic readings for players during peak times, the playoffs, for example, where I can help them visualize a positive outcome for their contests or their playoff series. And that's what I perhaps am doing down here. Again, I can't say.
Fair enough.
Kind of thing I do.
Well, I'm jealous that you're in New Orleans, and I'm thrilled that you're on the line with us, though. And we have, by the way, I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's pretty late on the Patty V Show, and we are getting some readings done for our listeners. And the in order to make people, you know, sometimes you have to lure them with not just the enticement of having a reading done, but sometimes it helps to say, look, I know it's not in your comfort zone. I've got a pizza and or a weather station for you. The weather station, by the way, I've been Googling. This is really cool. So it's a great device for you to be able to tell what the weather's like outside using sensors. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Helen joins us on the line. Hi, Helen. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Helen.
Fine, Patty. Thanks.
Of course. What were the last three songs that you randomly heard?
Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Nice.
Roy Orbison, Pretty Woman, and Soul and Inspiration by the Righteous Brothers.
Those are great.
Very
good. Okay, so yeah. Hit me with your best shot, Pretty Woman. What was the third one, Helen?
Soul and Inspiration. By the Righteous Brothers.
Soul and Inspiration?
By the Righteous Brothers. 66.
Right, okay. Okay, so we've got Pretty Woman. Soul and Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I'm feeling that you've just been hit hard with an emotional problem in the family. Is that true or false?
No, that's false. Everything's great.
Ooh. Okay, there's no medical problem or anything?
Well, my one sister, but she's always sick, so it's nothing new.
Aww.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Well,
that's you've kind of resigned yourself to it.
Well, you know, you don't worry about it anymore. It's always something.
Right, yeah, the best shot, that's what the Pretty Woman is. I think this reading is about your sister. And I think she's been getting hit with the best shot over and over again. She's been ill for a while. I'm seeing that she's going to have an improvement be less of a concern to your family in the very near future. Something is changing in a positive way. So instead of being hit with the shots all the time, you know, when you go to the doctor, they give you a shot of whatever, your best shot. I think this time she's having a better shot at progressing in her medical.
I hope so.
Health. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And that's the Pretty Woman. She's going to blossom and be pretty. And I think this has been a stressful situation for you and your family as I began with, and I think it's going to be a little less stressful for you now. Does that true or false? Are you seeing that change happening in her right now?
Truthfully, I doubt it, but if you say so, I hope it happens.
Well, you got to remember that the glass has to be half full before you get water in it, in your mind, because if you don't, then everything's always going to be bad, and then you're truly a Chicagoan.
Well, you know, also, go ahead.
No, no, she just doesn't take care of herself, you know? So maybe she'll change.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that it's an inattention to detail and almost not caring what happens to her. And I feel that the stronger the bonds in your family become, the more she'll actually care about being around and being healthy. And it's a psychological change that has to happen, a vibrational change that has to happen before the physical change can manifest itself, right? You know, let's say you want to lose 20 pounds. You until you mentally decide to do it, you'll never do it. And it's good for you to do that, but everything begins with an idea, with a vibration in the mind. And I feel that something recently has happened, perhaps between the two of you, perhaps between other people in the family, that has subtly shifted her desire to be well. Has there been some sort of positive confrontation or confluence with people in the family recently?
Oh, if I told you the story, I couldn't be on it on the air if I told you what happened.
For the language or?
No, for all the horrible things that have happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Off the air, Patty, I could tell you, but I can't tell you on the air in case somebody would recognize my voice.
I understand.
So there's a lot of baggage on that flight, and what you're saying is you're not willing to unpack it, but significant to say there's a lot of baggage.
Horrible.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's ending. I think her patience for it and her appetite for it is over, and I think everyone in the family has the same take on it. At the beginning of this reading, I asked you if something horrible had just happened or impacted your family, and it seems like it's been going on for a while. And what I'm seeing is these three songs, especially The Pretty Woman, are telling you that this period is over, and there's going to be more calm and more sanity in the family. And
I don't think so. The trial hasn't started yet. No, I don't think so.
Ooh, oh, my gosh.
Yikes.
You have to definitely keep us posted.
The trial hasn't started?
Yes.
That's correct. Oh, wow. You have to keep us posted on everything.
Only off the air.
Yeah.
Only off the air.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the trial on the air. Suffice to say, when I said there was something going on, I didn't mean someone was going to be going away. I just thought that there was something happening. But, sometimes the vibrations are stronger than others. Helen, I feel that it's going to turn out in a positive way for you. So I appreciate you calling in, and good luck.
Yes, Helen. Helen, it might be stormy for you right now, but you'll have an indoor weather station to see how things are outside. Yes.
Could I have the pizza? I want to go out. I know that's so rude.
No. Helen, a pizza pie for you is not a problem.
Helen's like, I called and I exposed myself vulnerably and I would like a pizza. Lou Malnais, gift certificate. Lou Malnais is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnais.com. Because Helen was first, Helen got first choice. So she's got a Lou Malnais gift card coming.
You can have a... Weather is something you always have. A pizza is a rare occurrence.
No matter the verdict.
I agree with it. Take the pizza.
Yeah.
There we go. Let me... Fair enough. Let's go to Colleen, who's been holding on. Hey, Colleen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
We are...
Very good, Colleen.
We are doing very well, thank
Excellent.
You. Now,
good.
Do you...
Thank
do you.
Stupendous.
Do you have the last three songs you randomly heard so the doctor can do a reading for you?
Yes. Billy Joel, The Piano Man. Mm. Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Ooh.
And Doobie Brothers, Blackwater.
Nice.
Wow. So Blackwater, Man in the Mirror, and Piano Man.
Yeah. John at the bar,
there's
he's a friend
of mine. Mysterious man. It sounds like there's a mysterious man appearing in your life. Is there a new person in your life that is cloaked in a realm of mystery or intrigue?
Not that I know of, but not looking either. So, you know, that could, I might not notice.
Ooh.
So right.
Are you married?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm seeing that this could be a, someone that has been, looking at you for a while, maybe someone at work or someone in the neighborhood, someone who's been aware of you for a while, and he's frustrated because you clearly are not aware of him, and it's bugging him. That's the man in the mirror. He wants you to look into the mirror and see him staring back at you, but he's like a vampire. He's invisible. You can't see him there.
Well, that sounds enticing.
Yeah, because you've had a relationship, true or false?
Pardon?
It's been a long while since you've had a substantial romantic relationship, true or false?
True, yes. Purposefully. Yeah. Yes, on purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's okay. It's close. All right.
She seems well with it. She doesn't.
She's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at some time in the past, you closed and locked that door. But almost like, you know, in Chicago, and I know in the upper part of the country, it's been just a horrible, long-lasting winter. And now it's starting to get warmer, so people are starting to open up the storm windows, looking out, peeking out, seeing the sunshine, seeing the green grass. And I feel that's where you are in your romantic life. You're kind of ready to stick your toe back into the cesspool again, true or false?
The cesspool would be a good description. I don't know if I am or not, but you know, I'm open to, I guess, you know,
the possibilities.
New things, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
That's good. First of all, that's always a good thing to be open to possibilities, and understand that the fact that you are open to possibilities means that you are ready. Understand what I'm saying? If you weren't open to possibilities, you wouldn't be ready. But because you are ready, there's a possibility coming your way. And I'm seeing it's going to be. Yeah, I'm seeing it's a musician.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not Billy Joel.
He's touring.
I don't know if he's in between.
Although I will be
right
at
now.
Wrigley. I'm seeing him at Wrigley in August. So.
Oh, cool.
Maybe that's
and who are you going with to that show? Do you know who you're going with to that show yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My son and a friend of his.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be great. But I'm seeing that there's a romantic. I don't think that's what I was seeing of him coming into your life because that's one night. I'm seeing, not that it wouldn't be one night the other way, but I think it has a longevity. There's a romantic thing coming down the pike. And he's not a professional musician. Also, I know someone that makes his living completely with it, but it's someone who's a good musician and I'm seeing wrenches. Maybe he's a plumber during the day and he is in a band at night. Someone that's
okay.
You that you're going to run into maybe at a Cinco de Mayo party. Are you planning to go to a party this weekend for the festival?
No.
If anyone offers you, if anyone offers that, definitely take it now. Take that offer.
Be open to the possibility.
Yeah,
okay, Colleen?
I'm seeing that you're going to get invited to an event this weekend, and at that event, you're going to meet a guy. And the reason you're going to know he's a plumber is he's going to be at the table, and he's going to drop some Cheetos on the floor, and he's going to bend over, and you're going to see ass crack for days. And you're going to be repulsed.
Yeah.
That's Stinko DeMaio.
Yeah.
That would be Stinko DeMaio.
And you're going to realize that he is musical, and then you two are going to have some sort of spark. So if he asks for your phone number, you know, give him at least 4 or 5 digits. You can look through that.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Mucho gusto.
Thanks, Colleen. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Let us know how it turns out. And you've got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. Well, hopefully there's some heating for you.
70 and sunny.
And then some cooling.
Thanks, Colleen.
The 60-Minute Med. More after this.
There's going to be some heat for Colleen. That's what I'm seeing.
I hope so. More after this on 720 WGN. Last week, Twitter was ablaze with the thoughts, the musings of Kanye West and how much he admired President Trump. He was posting pictures of a MAGA hat that President Trump had signed, and we went to go meet with him at Trump Tower. And then I don't even know what interview he was doing. There's one song that I know that Kanye does. I know Broke Something, and words that I'm not supposed to say.
Reunion,
it's fine.
He's selling a new album.
That day, he basically interrupted a Taylor Swift when she was receiving an award. I was like, who is this doofus? You know what bugs me is when we continue to reward jerks. I've never understood it. So when someone's a jerk and they keep showing you that they're a jerk, people just keep throwing money at them. And now he had an interview. What did he say? What was he saying about slavery? Let's see. Do we have the audio on that?
About slavery for 400 years. For 400 years? That sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like,
do you think, like, right there, he was trying to, like, back out of it? Like, he was, like, trying to go with, like, no, we're mentally enslaved, or I rather prefer prison because it's all the races. And then we're like, what are you talking about? Do you have the audio of the guy that started yelling at him, too?
Van Lathan.
Is that who that is?
Van Lathan.
I love
that.
This is exactly what I was like. Yeah, that's how you respond to Kanye.
It was perfectly succinct.
Here you go.
The rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
Exactly.
God, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect. He starts that with Kanye says, "Do you think I'm a free thinker?" Basically saying, like, I'm just. And look, has he started a conversation? But are we really having this conversation again about? So his thinking is that black people just sort of like put up with slavery? Like, it's, I guess, is the best I can do. It's such
it
a
is
weird
an incredibly
thing to say.
Tone deaf. Ahistorical, ignorant perspective.
I thought you were going to say a-hole thing.
It's as if you don't even know what the Civil War was about. Like, yeah, that we had the numbers. No, you didn't. That's why we fought a Civil War. Do you just crack a book?
Well, people would say that the Civil War wasn't about slavery. Only every single article of secession from every single Confederate state
is about slavery.
So has slavery in the beginning of their statement of secession.
I can take every single argument, which would be, it's about economics, yes, to own human beings for slavery. It's about states' rights, yes, to own slaves.
Yep.
Every single argument goes back to that same point, which is so ignorant and so defunct. And the biggest problem I have is it's so tone deaf to not understand reality, history, and basic facts about our country.
Right.
And that's an intentional choice. But I think he's just selling an album. He wants to sell a new album.
How does your brain wander to, like, why'd they just stay there? Why didn't they do something about it? It's just a bizarre, stupid. Okay, you know what?
It's so like Trump. It's so.
John did it. Trump segment.
Here's the thing.
We don't do Trump on weeknights.
I know. All I'm saying is the very specific point is it's revisionist history of, you know what I would have done in that situation.
Sure.
So it's this incredibly tone-deaf ability to go, if I was in this situation, I'm so brilliant and I'm so amazing, I would have done so much better and done this. And you're like, yeah, okay. Name that tune.
Sure.
Here's the time machine.
Right.
You're there.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, oh, man, I instantly regret my decision.
Such a weird thing.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
It's tone deaf.
It's ridiculous. I don't know what to think. Although I will say this. I mean, like, you know, I will never know. I will never know what it's like to be a black man who is, you know, when I get pulled over, you know, I my choices are, do I cry? Do I flirt? You know, for black men, for black people, it's a different experience. There's a former aide for President Obama who was moving into his apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Up until recently, he'd been living with his parents. apartments, and he decided to do his move-in. It's a New York apartment, and he decided to do his move-in in the middle of the night. Well, one of his neighbors called the cops and said that someone was breaking in. So the cops arrived in the lobby. His ID was up in his apartment. They wouldn't let him go to his apartment. They went to his apartment themselves. And then when he finally gets it cleared up with them, and it takes a while for them to get cleared up, another set of police officers arrive because they didn't get the call from 911 or from the dispatcher that it had been taken care of already. So they went through the whole rigmarole with him again because he was a black dude moving his stuff into his apartment, and one of his neighbors called the cops.
It's completely different. Like, as a Caucasian American in Chicago.
By the way, let's address this. 773, we have addressed this before. So who was for slavery? Please state the fact that it was all Democrats. Want to hear you say it. If not, you're on BS. Yes, it was all. I don't know if it was all Democrats, but here's the thing. If we go back, and please listen to the 773, you can find this online on YouTube. There's a great reading of President Lincoln's, it was before he was president, it's from 1860. It's a speech at Cooper's Union. He breaks down the entire thing, and the Republican Party was very new at the time, by the way, and Republicans.
They were progressive.
Were the progressives. They were the liberals, and he talks about it extensively in his speech.
That is correct.
So if you'd like to flip that, so it was the conservatives that were all the slaveholders. So the liberals were the ones fighting against it. So there you go. Enjoy your evening.
Yep. No, that's historically accurate. That's historically right on the money. See, the party's flipped. So remember, all the way up until the 20s, and then even right around the civil rights, the party's flipped. So all the Dixiecrats became Republicans. That's why all the same people who were the Dixiecrats and Democrats under slavery, that's why they don't like the Democratic Party. That's why they don't like progressive. So that's why they like the Confederate flag.
I'm more than comfortable by saying that it was conservatives that had slaves, and it was liberals that that wanted to fight for their freedom.
That is correct. So abolitionists were progressive.
I hope that helps you a little bit. From this 312, Kanye's mother was a professor in African American history at Chicago State University. Do you really think that he is in denial and revising history? Come on, folks. He was just trying to get a discussion going about mental slavery. Well, then he failed, I think, because we're not talking about mental slavery. We're talking about
slavery.
And there are folks who are angry at what he said. So do you think that a discussion about mental slavery has gotten going? So come on, folks.
So hang on. If the discussion is... if you want to talk about mental slavery, you are a wordsmith and claim to be so with your career. You used clumsy, horrid words.
It was clumsy, and that's why I feel like he was trying to pivot and trying to go a different direction.
Yeah, because he was scared of the reaction.
He did not succeed. So there you go. Vic Vaughn's in the studio, so let's take a break here. I want to find out about his trip to, was it Fort Bragg? You were down at Fort Bragg?
Fort
Benning, Georgia.
Fort Benning.
I know exactly where it is. My brother is a retired 3-star general in the Army.
Let's find you. You know you have to use a microphone when we come back. More after this on 720 WGN. This is exciting. We've invited Vic Vaughn, our newsman, into the show. You should come in here more often. If you're done.
There's definitely a better view in here.
Isn't there? Well, especially because they're deconstructing the newsroom now, too. It's kind of, now it's even weirder.
It's a bit of a mess. Let's be honest.
Is that a new band on the Metro, deconstructing the newsroom?
I think it is.
If it's not, it should be.
You have a great series that's starting to go up on our Facebook page and WGNradio.com's page. You have, you went down to Fort Benning.
I did, yes.
And for the Educators Workshop. Now, I did this for the Recruit Depot, but this is a totally different experience.
It was.
Tell us a little bit about what you were down there for.
It was with the U.S. Army. We brought about a dozen Army recruiters that work here in Chicago. They're in charge of a huge area of recruiting young men and women from all the way up to the Illinois-Wisconsin border down to Warsaw, from the lake all the way to Iowa. We took a dozen of those recruiters, 30 Chicago educators. These are teachers and counselors from high schools and colleges in the cities and suburbs, the city and suburbs. We all took like a convoy of vans to the airport and all flew together.
Yep.
It was such an amazing trip. We were down in Columbus, Georgia, where Fort Benning is at, and we got to meet some amazing Army soldiers that are going through training. Some of them just introduced into the Army boot camp, basically. Others already out of boot camp and are now graduating as Rangers. These guys are elite. They're the Army's elite special forces. We got to see them in action. They did a demonstration. We saw 200 new Rangers graduate. These are guys who spent 60 days in the woods. The soldiers we talked to said that those guys lose about 20 to 30 pounds, those men and women that do that.
Oh, I can imagine.
Easy. In that 60-day period. Yeah. It's unbelievable what they go through.
And you, you're Army.
I'm Air Force.
Air Force, really?
I'm prior Air Force, 5 years active duty. Also served 11 years as a contractor doing counter-narcotics, counter-terrorism surveillance. So I got to work with all of the branches when I did that work. That was some really interesting
work. Okay, so you did work with the Army, but you were in the Air Force.
Army.
In the Air Force. What was your impression of the training that they go through compared to what you went through in the Air Force?
Well, my training was quite a bit different than what they do.
I can imagine.
Especially physically. These guys go, they're put to the test. In fact, we learned that those 200 Rangers that graduated, that we witnessed them graduate, represent 11% of the people who tried out for it. That's the cut there. And
It's the
best of the best the Army has. And also, those people, that 11%, they said they were selected from each base. They take their top one or two men or women and send them to the school. And out of those, 11% make the cut. It's incredible.
That is wild. Yeah. And is it all men that are Rangers?
No, men or women. I know the
and
first...
And theater started a few years ago.
Yeah,
I think 2015. Considered combat.
I think 2015 was the first women, I think two or three graduated. I may be wrong, but I believe two or three graduated.
I'm not trying to test you.
Yeah. I believe two or three graduated from the Rangers training. But then you have to go on and do some other things to become an actual Ranger. I think you have to deploy. And so...
Were you able to catch up with some of the Illinois recruits who are going through training?
What's that?
Catch up with some of the Illinois kids?
You know, we tried to find someone from Chicago.
Right.
The best we could get was... a guy from New Jersey. I guess they picked him because he's from a city.
Forget about it.
Yeah. I spoke with a guy from Mike Poe, our videographer, is going to put up a nice video that he did. He's working on it right now. But he helped me interview these two guys. So one was from New Jersey. I can't remember where the other guy was from, but these two kids were amazing. I call them kids because they were, they're probably 18 years old. But man, the dedication. I mean, we asked them a few questions about, why did you join? How do you feel? They wanted to serve their country, and they felt like after going through boot camp, they felt like they were part of a brotherhood and sisterhood that they'd never felt before, and it was incredible.
Do the men and women train together? Or do they have, because the Marine Corps have them not even on the same, in San Diego there are no women at the recruit depot, and down in
Fort Benning?
No, Marines is a different one. I think it's where all the sand fleas are. It's hot. Like
Sandusky,
in South Carolina.
Ohio?
No, it's in South Carolina or North Carolina. Gosh, I didn't go there, but they have separate units. Do they train together?
Well, the desegregation has been going on for a while. From what we were told, they are not they're not separated. There's certain parts of the training that might be, but for the most part, they go through the same things and they do that together.
That's good.
I know when I was in the Air Force, this is going back to 1990 when I joined. I was a member of the 3708th BMTS at San Antonio and Lackland Air Force Base. I was the last flight in the Air Force that was all male through basic training. After that, they were mixing them. So it's been going on a while now.
That's great.
And I believe at Fort Benning, they are training together.
What were you impressed by? I mean, is it the technology that they now have access to?
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was blown away by we got to witness how they train Rangers to become to be a part of a tank crew and a Bradley crew, a Humvee crew. We learned the technology they use is incredible. We went into a warehouse and it looked like a bunch of crates stacked on top of each other. And what it was, these four or five crates would represent the inside of these crates that they would crawl into. It was just packed with technology and computer screens and audio equipment, and it mimics the inside of a tank. And they teach them how to do that before they actually go out and get into tanks. And at Fort Benning, they actually use live artillery and live shells that they're firing out of the 50 cals. I mean, it's incredible.
So what was your impression that the educators had as far as, do you think that they'll encourage or have conversations with their students?
I do. I spoke with them before they witnessed everything at Fort Benning, and then afterwards, only two out of the 30 teachers had ever really been around the Army. So they were exposed to this for the first first time. And a lot of them had some reservations about talking. Now, most of them said, as a counselor or an educator, they try to remove their own personal bias about the military when they talk to a student.
Sure.
That's good.
Yeah, but by the end of it, I think the thing that the teachers were most impressed with was that the Army isn't just using these people as, soldiers to go and fight in wars and then spitting them out into society.
They're trying to develop a full human being.
And also, exactly right. And they're also, they call it 360-degree shoulder. They bring them in, and then they want to put them back out into society and hope that they go on to do things like become senators or leaders in their communities.
You're teaching them leadership skills and life skills.
Outstanding leadership skills. And then also how to be part of a group. But they also have I think the teachers were surprised at all the different jobs that they can be trained on and then go out and do that, you know, build a career for themselves. So
I think that's
the thing too, is that because the next stop is also talking to parents, right? Because you can talk to students, but a lot of parents are apprehensive about their kids joining the military. What would you say to somebody whose like kid is thinking about it?
You know what? I'll tell you how I feel. My own son, who's a freshman in high school, he's infatuated with the Army. He wants to go in the Army.
Okay.
I'm also fearful, you know. We're at war right
now. It's human nature.
Absolutely. As a parent and as a service, as a veteran, I say it's up to him. It's his choice. I try to lead him. I try to give him, examples that I can give him from my life. But it's his choice. If he feels compelled to serve his country strongly, I tell him that he should follow his heart. These teachers, I think just to wrap up, I think these teachers, most of them by the end said that they're going to give the Army a chance when a student comes to them. They're going to give the Army a chance.
And they'll be informed on it.
Yeah, they're much better for form.
That's great.
Where can people find the videos and audio?
WGNradio.com. You can Google Vic Vaughn Fort Benning. It'll probably come up.
Vic Vaughn Fort Benning. Go check it all out. It's great work. Thank you so much, Vic. I'm going to give you time. Vic. I'll talk slowly when...
I'll run over to the newsroom.
You don't have to run. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Vic.